Today's Shiur Maseches Bava Basra will be Daf Kuf Ayin Gimel. If you are not fully familiar with our marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we glance at the top of Kuf Ayin Gimel in Bava Basra, we encounter on the top line a geometric form, a diamond. It's also indicated in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a number 2 in diamond form. Since there's a number 2, and for those of you who are tuning in for the first time at this particular daf, you'll of course be curious to know if there's a 2, where was the 1? The 1 was on the previous Amud, on Kuf Ayin Beis Amud Beis. Likewise, you can spot it by looking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a little more than halfway down, if you have that daf available in front of you. At that point in the Gemara, we introduced a series of Tanaic sources dealing with the topic of two people with the same name in one town, and halachas and laws regarding their abilities, regarding documents, legal documents, and their ability to collect with them and be collected from. Always existing the possibility that the interested parties will claim this document is not mine, it belongs to him, or vice versa, depending on the case. When we learned the previous daf, we indicated at that time that the diamond that appeared there would be of little significance to that particular omud. However, it represents the beginning of a series whose benefit, whose meaning will only become understandable and appreciated now. However, what we would like to do is glance back momentarily at the introductory remarks that we supplied on Kuf Ayin Beis Amud Beis in the marking Gemaras, the marking system and the Gemaras that we use, the Shas Ozer marked Gemara edition, provides on the outside margin very often topic headings and structural notes indicating the nature of the upcoming sugya. In this case, if we glance back there, for those who have the Gemara available in front of you, you can follow along as we read. Otherwise, we'll just try to follow the oral presentation. The heading we have on the previous Amud, Nosei Mivneh, we feature diamonds. The diamonds represent, in this case, a series of Mekoros, of sources, Tanaic sources, Mishnasenu Ubraisa, Shecholkim Imhem Yosef and Shimon. We will see a controversy between our Mishnah and an additional Brisa, and in fact an additional 2 Brises as we go down Kuf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, that argue regarding the possibility of Yosef and Shimon, a chosen arbitrary name, if they can Yecholim Lahoitzi Shtar Choiv Al Achirim, can they produce a bill of collection against others, against someone in the public. So sources 1 and 2, 1 was seen on Kuf Ayin Beis Amud Beis, and number 2 will be seen on our daf at the top of Kuf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Point Aleph, Chayukim, they disagree Imhem Yechoyim Lachoytzi Al Achirim, if a Yosef Ben Shimon in a particular town can pull out a shtar to someone in the public and say, hey, you know, you see your name in this shtar, you owe me money. The possible response could be that the fellow in the public can say, I don't owe you money, I owe the other Yosef ben Shimon in town money, and it's his name that appears in the shtar. The second point, Beis, Avol Maskimin, that these two sources, 1 and 2, are in agreement, the Einom Yechoyim Lahotzi Ze Al Ze, that one Yosef ben Shimon cannot pull out a document if it says that Yosef ben Shimon owes the holder of this particular shtar money, and in this case, if if that name, if the lender's name is found in it, it will also be Yosef ben Shimon. In other words, it would say that Yosef ben Shimon owes Yosef ben Shimon money. So these two sources will agree that they cannot use this shtar to collect against the fellow Yosef ben Shimon in town. The claim being, the supposed borrower would say, it's not that I owe you money, you really owe me money. We will see number three, that appears on Kuf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph as well, that's Sover, that holds, point one, he holds like number one, like the first source, the quote from our Mishnah, the Yecholim Lehoitzi Shtar Al Achirim. That was the point, the inferred point drawn from our Mishnah, is that a Yosef ben Shimon in town, even though there's another fellow with the same name, if he is holding a shtar, he can use it to collect from the public, from someone else in the public. So point source 1 and source 3 will agree that Yosef ben Shimon can collect from someone else in town. That's what we said, Yocholim lehotzi shtar al achirim, on others. Point base, the choylek al 1 and 2, that means source 3 that we will see disagrees with source 1 and 2, the sover, the yocholim lehotzi ze al ze, that one Yosef ben Shimon can in fact collect from another Yosef ben Shimon. So when we see source 3 will be giving a lot of options, so to speak, or mobility for collection on the part of Yosef ben Shimon in town, even though there's another one in town. We've provided a chart that indicates the different opinions in these sources that you'll find on Kuf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. That's an indication of Ayin Tavlo B'Amud Abo, meaning on Ayin Kuf Ayin Gimel Aleph, we'll have a chart that points out the opinions of each one of these sources. With all that introduction having been said, we now turn to the Gemara at the top of Kuf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. The Elohod Desanya, the following Tanaiv source, as you see and are aware of from having heard our introductions, Tanaiv sources in the marking edition are framed off to set them apart from the rest of the Gemara. So here we have a brisa that says, Kishem she'ein moitziim shtar choiv ze al ze, just like a Yosef ben Shimon in town cannot use a bill of collection to collect from a fellow Yosef ben Shimon in town. As we explained earlier, because each one can claim that the shtar is not really used to collect from him, rather the other one owed him money. Therefore, they cannot use the shtar to collect one from the other. Kach ein motzien al achirim. They can likewise not collect from the public. In other words, a Yosef ben Shimon in town that is holding on to a shtar chov that says someone in town owes him money, he won't be able to collect with it. The Rashbam points out that this question is being raised on the background that we've established that we're not choshesh for it having fallen out of the hands of the other Yosef ben Shimon. If that be the case, so why is it that if Yosef ben Shimon is holding onto a shtar trying to collect from someone in the public, why is it that he cannot, why does the source say he cannot collect from that party? That party can't claim, I really owe the other man the money and it fell out of his hands and you just happened to find it. So what is the point of machlokas? B'mai komifligi. What we've done in our markings is we feature the expression b'mai komifligi in a valley form or a crown form. This is explained on the outside margin where we have supplied a tatnose, a subtitle, namely where the general sugya at hand is here to resolve three different Tanaic sources and explain the differences between them. But we have a subcategory, namely the discussion that we're going to have in the Gemara from this point until we get to the beginning of the wide lines. We featured in the outside margin, Osios Niknois B'Mesira, the issue of Osios or Shtoros, are they acquired or transferred from one to the other by the mere handing over of them? Or is it necessary that when one is giving a bill of collection from one party to the other, that an additional shtar be prepared, an additional contract be prepared that demonstrates or that indicates that the bill of collection was transferred from one to the other. We have featured in the Mivneh heading, in the structural note, this crown form, B'mai Komifligi. You'll see this form here, and on the second wide line as well, where the Gemara will present source 3 with its different opinion, and ask what is the basis of Machlokes between it and the other sources. Ma hayesod shel hamachlokes bein hamakoros. We're going to be looking for the basis of the disagreement between these sources. We've also, to add to the series effect, a double underline under the expression komifugi, when the Gemara is going to be asking what is the point of difference between them. So when the Gemara answers, they are arguing about a certain given point, komifugi. This is the point in which they're upon which they're arguing. We will see this marking used here when the Gemara indicates the difference between sources 1 and 2, and later on when the Gemara will feature the difference between source 3 and the previous sources. So here the Gemara asks, B'mai komifligi, what is the point of argument between these sources, where source 2 said, Ein motzien al acherim, that they, the Yosef ben Shimon's in town, cannot use their shtar to collect from someone else in the public, whereas the Mishnah, the inferred point from the Mishnah, the previous Amid, and you can find that also easily by looking at the slashed underlined plus the arrow that's featured in the little space in the immediate left hand side of the Gemara. You notice Kuf Ayin Beis Amid Beis, an arrow pointing to a particular, to this line, the second line, and you find the parallel arrow on Kuf Ayin Beis Amid Beis, and you'll notice toward the lower part of the page an arrow in the same position, namely the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, pointing to a line with the slashed underline, Haim Alachir Michulim, that they can collect from others in town, hence featuring the point of difference. And the Gemara is asking, what is the understanding or the basis of this difference? So the Gemara answers, this represents answer number 1, hence we've indicated that, with a number 1 that's encircled. But osios niknois bimesiro komiflegi. Are osios shtoros, documents, transferred from one party to another by the mere handing over, without the need to write an extra contract concerning this transfer? Tanadi don sovar. Our Mishnah that holds that they, Yosef and Shimon, can use his shtar to collect from someone else in town is of the opinion oisiois niknois b'mesiro, that bills of collection, contracts, etc. can be transferred through mere handing over. The Tana Bora, the Brisa that says that they cannot, Yosef and Shimon in town cannot use his shtar to collect from someone else in town, is of the opinion sofer ein oisiois niknois b'mesiro, that the mere possession of a shtar, when someone else in town has the same name, does not indicate you're the owner of it. And the only way to do so would be if you have some additional proof, a contract, for example, that indicated that you acquired this particular document. Let us glance at the Rashbam, where we have an asterisk written into the Rashbam text, the third line from the top end of the line, to Tono Didon Sovar, our Mishnah, who says that they can, Yosef and Shimon is able to collect from someone else in town, holds Lunafilo Dechad Lo Chayshinan, that it fell out of the hands of the other Yosef ben Shimon in town. We are not suspicious of that having happened. My equal Amema, what else is there to possibly explain this guy's possession of the shtar? Dilmo Ihu Yohiv Lei. Maybe the other Yosef ben Shimon in town, who may have been the original lender of the money, he gave it to this Yosef ben Shimon, handed it over to him. And by doing so, Osios Niknos B'Mesiro, our Mishnah holding that the transfer of documents is accomplished by mere handing over, V'al Korcho Yifalo L'Misha Ashtar Shalom, and therefore the fellow in town has to pay this one, this Yosef ben Shimon, who's currently holding on to the shtar, being the legitimate owner of the shtar, having acquired it through Mesira. The Rashbam continues, V'tona Boro Sovar Ein Osios Niknos B'Mesiro, that the mere transfer of the document does not create new ownership of it. And as a result of that, the borrower will be able to push off the fellow holding onto the shtar and say the following: Pikadon hu etzlecha. You're not the one I owe the money to. You were merely entrusted to hold onto the shtar. V'lozeh yomar, and to the other one, the lender could say, Ein hashtar biyotcha. Hey, I don't owe you the money. Where's the shtar? You don't have it. The Rashbam adds an interesting legal point. Umiyu im kosvu harshah zeh lozeh. If these two Yosef and Shimon's wrote a power of attorney one to the other, al korcho yishalim lo. So the borrower will have to pay to this fellow, the fellow now holding power of attorney, by saying either the shtar is really mine or I am collecting it on behalf of the other one. Continuing in the Gemara, v'iboyisim adukule alma oisios niknos b'masir. Another approach taken by the Gemara, and we use a squiggle underline when indicating some type of alternative. In this case, we're presenting an alternative resolution or explanation that explains the difference between the two sources. That according to this alternative possibility, everyone will hold oisios niknos b'masir. Namely, these two sources would be in agreement that mere transfer of the contract of the bill of collection would be sufficient without the necessity of preparing an additional contract indicating this transfer. The hacha, and here, as far as these two sources are concerned, what's the point of difference? But sorich lahavi raya komiflegi, the need to bring additional proof in the form of witnesses. True, we don't need a contract that indicates the transfer of the documents. That the first fellow, the original lender, sold the document to the second possessor. That's a function of holding that everyone says oisios niknos b'masir, that mere handing over would be sufficient. However, is there a necessity to have witnesses that saw the transfer? Once again, transfer, mere physical transfer, is enough to create new ownership. However, do you need witnesses that can testify that they saw the transfer? And as a result of seeing the transfer, then it would become clear that it's in the hands of the current possessor, not as an article called pikodon to be watched, but rather he is the real owner of it, the new owner. So this is the issue between them. Notice, once again, as we mentioned in our introduction, the double underline featuring the word komiflegi. At this point, the Gemara presents the point of difference. Tana didan, our Mishnah that holds that Yosef and Shimon can use the document to collect from others, savar ein tzorech lahavi raya. There's no need for the current possessor to produce witnesses that the shtar was transferred over to him, and hence the other Yosef and Ben Shimon cannot claim that it was given to this one as a mere pikodon. The fact that the current holder is holding onto it is sufficient. The Tana Borosovar, the Brisa will hold. The Brisa that said Ein Motzian Alachirim, that the document cannot be used to collect from others in town, holds Tzorech Lahavi Raya, that the current possessor would have to bring witnesses. And if he cannot produce witnesses that he acquired it through Masira, then the shtar, the bill of collection that he's holding, will not be effective. At this point, we've provided in our Gemara marking system, in our text, we've put in brackets. And you can see the length of the bracketed section by following the special dash-dotted vertical line that appears, in this case, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating the length of the bracketed section. The reason this section is in brackets is explained by looking at the comment in the margin. Follow the asterisk, and you'll see Haketa Shabasograim Muva Kereka Lechuvas HaGemara. The section in brackets is not for the purpose of skipping, which is the general use of the brackets in our marking system, but rather it's brought here. This section is put in brackets just to demonstrate this whole piece of Gemara serves as a background to the answer that the Gemara just gave. In other words, the Gemara discussed the issue of oisios niknos b'mesiru, the transfer of documents through mere handing over. That issue is now discussed at greater length within the bracketed section. However, after the bracketed section, the Gemara comes back to the general topic, and that is the comparison and resolution and explanation of the differences between the various Tanaic sources dealing with this general topic of two people in town with the same name and their abilities regarding the documents of collection that they may be in possession of. That you can see by skipping the bracketed section, which we will not do in our reading, but you notice right afterwards it says Velaha de Sanya, and then we bring another Tanaic source with a dashed underlined section of the source being highlighted, showing the point of difference between it and the previous sources. However, let us go back now to the bracketed section, understanding that we're dealing with a topic now within the brackets concerning the issue of oisios niknos b'mesira, the acquisition of bills of collection and contracts through the mere handing over of them. Di itmar, oisios niknos b'mesira. Abaye omar, tzorech lahovi raya. The possessor of it, even though one he could legitimately acquire ownership of the bill of collection through the handing over, he has to bring additional proof that he, additional proof through testimony of witnesses that he received it, and it's received it to be owner of, to be an owner of it, and it's not sufficient that he's muhsukbo, that he's holding on to it. V'rov omer eino tzorech lahavi raya. He doesn't have to bring any additional proof of it. It's sufficient that he's holding the shtar. That indicates that he is the owner of it, and hence has a right to collect from the borrower's name that is that appears therein. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice another geometric form, a house form. This is explained in the outside margin. Once again, before we read the explanation, it's important to emphasize for new time learners with the marking system that the geometric forms have no inherent significance other than the attempt to create a connection, a sense of relationship or connection between the different points that have the same geometric form around them. In this case, the house form is used for the following. It's explained in the outside margin. Shnei lishonos b'gemara, Abaye and Rava. There are two lishonos in the Gemara which present Abaye, and the second lashon presents Rava, each lashon having the response of the other one appearing. Mino amino la, from where do I know to say what I hold? In other words, we saw Abaye say that even though osios niknos mimesira, the one who's holding on to it, tzorech lavi raya, the Gemara will ask mino amino la. We also have a dotted underline highlighting that expression. From where do I know to say that? Mevi kol echad mokor l'shitasam. At this point in the Gemara, where it says mino amino la, each one will be bringing a source for his position, namely tzorech or ein tzorech, depending on the shita, depending on the opinion, lahavi raya, to produce testimony, shirochash es hashtar, that he acquired the shtar, acquired it as an owner, as opposed to receiving or getting it for some other reason. The Gemara continues. We are at the point in the Gemara where Abaye appears in a house form, and we've also indicated in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text an aleph in a house and a beis a few lines later, at which point the Gemara presents Ikah, the Amri, in the middle of the line, an alternative version of this discussion. At that point, of course, the Ikah, the Amri, is squiggle underlined, as we do often, to indicate alternatives. Omar Abaye. Our Gemara continues at the point that Abaye appears in the house. Mino amino la. From where do I know my position, namely tzorech lahavi raya, that the possessor has to bring additional proof in the form of witnesses that he is the owner of it. Desanya. We have a Tanaic source, as you can see, it's in a frame. This discusses a situation where a man passed away, leaving several sons as heirs, and one of the sons has a bill of collection in his hands, namely his father had loaned money to someone. The son is now holding a shtar chov, and the son holding it claims that the father gave it to him personally, on a personal basis, namely that he and only he will collect, and the money collected, even though it's money that was loaned by their father, he, the son holding the shtar, will be the only one to enjoy that money, to collect it and keep it for himself. So the source says, Echo mino achim shashtar chov yotze mitachas yodo, one of the brothers that has a bill of collection in his hands, olav lahavi raya, it is upon him to bring proof that the father gave it to him specifically. Otherwise, if he cannot bring a raya, his holding on it will not be effective proof that he's the owner of it. My lav hu adin lachrini. Abaye says, is it not so that this issue of lahavi raya, of need to bring proof, applies to others as well, namely cases other than brothers inheriting an estate? The Rava Omar shaini achin. Rava responds, and with the squiggle underline, in many, many sugyas, when there's a back and forth discussion, a give and take, we use the squiggle line as well to indicate that. So this is Rava's response, and he says, shaini achim, the case of brothers is different. Deshamtu mehadodi. They have a tendency to grab from one another. Iko diamri. Another version of this discussion, of this presentation. Omar Rava Mino Aminola. Rava says, from where do I know my opinion, namely Ein Tzorach Lavi Raya, as we saw above? Tesanya, Echod Mino Achim, Shashtar Chov Yotze Mitachas Yado. He actually quotes from the same source and says that you have a situation of a brother that has a brother, one of the sons that is an heir to an estate that's holding a bill of collection. Olav Lahavi Raya. Though the Shtar Chov is Yotze Mitachas Yado, he has to bring proof that it's his alone, namely that the father gave it to him to be the sole possessor of it. And Rava continues with his inference, Achen hu deshamtu mehadadi, it's the case of brothers that have a tendency to grab from one another, and hence they have a way of getting away with it, so to speak. Aval achrini, when you're dealing with outsiders, people that are not relatives, they're not in the same household, and hence their ability to get away with it is not quite as easy. It's not so easy to grab from some total stranger and claim it to be yours. Therefore, when it comes to others, lo, there's no need to bring a raya. This being proof to Rava's position. Namely, drawing an inference from the source, Rava comes to his conclusion. The Abaye, what's Abaye's response? He says, that's not true, that we're going to make a distinction between brothers and others. In other words, not only will brothers need to bring a raya, but others as well. The Abaye, Achen itzterichale. The case of Achen, the case of brothers, was necessary to be taught. Salka daito chamino, without having been taught the case of brothers, kevan deshamtu mehadodi, since there is this tendency to be able to grab and get away with it one from the other, Amal, I might have had an opposite type of logic. Mizdahar zihiri v'lotzrichi l'aviral. Since they're aware of their closeness with one another and the ability of one to grab from the other and get away with it, they exercise extra precaution. And as a result of their exercise of extra precaution, they, if one of them is holding on to a document and claiming it as his own, that would be sufficient proof that it's his, because of the extra precaution that all of them took. And if he is in fact holding on to it, that should be enough to show that it's really his, and that he wouldn't need to bring additional witnesses to testify to that point. Komash Malon, the chiddush being that even in the case of brothers, they have to bring a raya, that any given brother would have to bring proof that he is the true owner, the sole owner of it. And if that's the case with brothers, that's all the more the case with the general public, where one doesn't exercise extra precaution. And if he wants to claim that he's the sole owner of it, he will certainly have to bring proof to that effect in the form of witnesses. That is Abaye's position. At this point, you can see that the bracketed section closes, and we go back to the general topic of the presentation of different Tanaic sources, all concerning the issue of Shnei Yosef ben Shimon Bir Achaz, two people in town with the same name. The Eloha Desanya, the following source, Keshem Shemotzi and Hain Shtar Choy Valachirim, just like they can use the Shtar in their hands, any one Yosef ben Shimon can use the Shtar in his hands to collect from someone in the public. which, by the way, is a position that was inferred from our Mishnah as well, and hence we can say the point that source 3 that we're reading here and source 1, namely our Mishnah, are in agreement, namely they are motzi shtar chov al achirim. This source goes on to say kach motziin ze al ze, and we've dashed underlined this because this is the focus of our attention, and this point is the point of difference between source 3 and the previous sources 1 and 2. This, by the way, you can easily see on the chart that we see concerning the issue of motziin ze al ze. On the chart, under diamond 3, you can see 3, on the first line where it says Aleph motziin ze al ze, under 3 it says Cain, whereas under 1 and 2 you see the word Lo. They cannot be motziin ze al ze. Hence, seeing very clearly the point of difference. The Gemara asks, as we've asked before, b'mai komifli, and of course you notice the same geometric form appearing here as it did on the third line from the top, where the Gemara is asking, what's the point of difference? What is the explanation of the difference? B'koisven shtar meloive v'yafal pishe imal v'imoi. This is an issue that appears in other masechtas, the issue of preparing a loan document on behalf of a borrower, even though the malve is not present. Komifligi. Once again, you see the double underline. The point of difference is this. The Gemara now explains. Tona didon savar. Our Mishnah that held that ein moitziim zalzeh. It's true, the Brisa that we saw at the top, point number, source number 2 also said that they cannot collect from one another, is of the following opinion. Before we go further in the Gemara, let us also note that we have a long answer marking. This you can see by the circled tuff in the little space immediate right hand side of the Gemara, tshuva or teretz, with a long dashed vertical line indicating the length of the answer. So this long tshuva or teretz is coming to explain the position of Tana Didon. Our Tana, who holds Ein Motziim Zalzeh, holds that Kisvin Shtar Leloive Afal Pishein Mal VeImo, that a shtar can be prepared for a borrower, for a potential borrower, even though the malva, the one who's going to lend the money, is not present, and this will become understandable as we go on. The following story unfolds. Zimnin de ozil legabi safra. It could happen that a Yosef ben Shimon goes to a scribe and presents himself as a borrower, someone interested in borrowing money, and he wants to borrow from his friend Yosef ben Shimon, a fellow that happens to have the same name. So he goes to Zimnin de ozil legabi safra vesadi. Goes to a scribe and witnesses the Omar Lahu. And he says to them, Kisvuli shtara, write for me a shtar, a document indicating that I want to take a loan out, deboinon lemezaf, that I want to borrow, mi Yosef ben Shimon chaveri, I want to borrow from my friend Yosef ben Shimon. Ubosu de kasi v'chas milei, and after they prepare this document, nekita le, he'll take the document, vi omar le, and he'll go to the other Yosef ben Shimon, and says, havli meo, the Yasvis Minoi, I want you to pay me the 100 units of money, whatever it is, $100 that you owe me. Since we hold that Kusvin Shtar Leloiva Fabishay Malva Imo, that such a document could in fact have been prepared, and that the fellow who's claiming to be the lender is in fact nothing other than a thief. Hence, we take preemptive action on a legal level by saying, as it's said in our Mishnah, Tona Didan, that Ein Moitziim Zalzeh, that when one Yosef ben Shimon tries to collect from the other Yosef ben Shimon, he just will not be able to, he won't be able to, because of the fear of this kind of story happening. Tana Bara Savar, the other Tana, the Tana, the Brisa that was number 3, that holds one Yosef ben Shimon can prepare a shtar, can collect from another Yosef ben Shimon, is of the opinion, Savar Ein Kaisven Shtar Lelove Ad She'e Malve Imo, that a borrower that wants to have a document indicating a loan cannot be prepared unless the malva is present as well. The Rashba points out, across from here, Elam kein malva imo umestamo shneim hoyu b'mamod mokoim shenichtav. It must be then that both were present when it was at the place it was being prepared. V'kivon de'inhu yadi, and since they are aware that such a shtar is being prepared, that namely it will say in it that Yosef ben Shimon is collecting money from, that Yosef ben Shimon owes money to Yosef ben Shimon, v'ein makpidim zeh al zeh, and they're not concerned with this one on the other. Lo chayshinosu l'shum ramos. We have no reason to suspect any further underhanded play. Kevan delinafilo lo chayshinon. Since we are in the first place not worried about it having fallen out of the hands of one and found by the other. This was a point that was established in the Gemara on Kuf Ayin Beis. So at this point we have finished explaining the differences between point source 1, our Mishnah, and Brisa number 2, and the point of difference between Brisa number 2 and the Brisa number 3 and the point that was found in the Mishnah. We continue in the Gemara with a quote from the Mishnah. We've also featured in the coming section a new geometric form, a volcano form. This is explained in the outside margin under our heading Nosei Mivneh, where we combine the topic heading with a structural note. So we have the geometric form featured, the volcano form, Shnei Gishois, two approaches, the Hasbir Soif HaMishnah. We're going to be seeing two approaches with which to explain the end of the Mishnah, which said Nimtza, there was found a shovar, a receipt, Nimtza Le'echod Bein Shtoroisov. It was found to one of the parties. We can't be specific right now, but one of the parties, we have a lender and a borrower, one of the parties found in his possession a receipt indicating that the debt has been paid. So approach number one is Nimtza LaMalva, and you'll notice that we've used this geometric form surrounding, in the first case, the word Le'echod, and that's an indication of the malveh. And approach number two, which will be Abaye's approach, Nimtza laloiveh. The approach that he takes to the Mishnah is very different, where the understanding of Nimtza le'echod in the Mishnah is really a reference to the loiveh. Abaye's approach will be taken as a means of resolving a problem. We will also notice a use of a circle to highlight the names Rabbi Yirmiyo and Abaye. This will appear in our Gemara, and we've explained that in our comment that Rabbi Yirmiyo and Abaye matziim gishois. These two rabbonim are going to present approaches liftor to resolve ba'ayas Hadiuk mi Mishnosenu, to resolve an inference that we draw from the Mishnah. In other words, when learning the Mishnah, we're going to also infer a point of information that is going to create some trouble for us. The im lo hoya shover, that had there been no receipt, azai malve hoya yochol ligvois mehen, it would have been understood that a lender would be able to collect from Yosef ben Shimon. We're of course dealing with the topic of two people in town with the same name. Lefi Rav Yirmiya, hatshuva hi nekudatit. According to Rav Yirmiya's approach, he will have an answer that will deal with a specific point of difference or a specific point of information with which to resolve the inference that we draw from the Seifa of the Mishnah and that which appeared earlier in the Mishnah, which indicated that such a situation should not be able to result. In other words, that Amalva should not be able to collect from them. Whereas Abaye has an approach, the original Diuk never got off the ground. In other words, the original inference that created the problem never even got started. This, of course, will be much more clearly understood as we go into the Gemara itself. So we now turn to the Gemara, the Dibur HaMaskil from the Mishnah, and you'll notice that where the volcano form appears, Nimsa Le'echod Bein Shtoroisov. A lender, that's how we're going to understand the Mishnah right now. This is before we get to Abaye's approach. A lender found amongst his documents the following: Shtoro Shel Yosef Ben Shimon Porua. He found this written on a piece of paper, indicating that the shtar of Yosef and Shimon has been paid up. Shtoros Shneim Pruin. From the Mishnah we are to understand, because this appeared in the lender's possession, the shtoros of both Yosef and Shimon are paid up. In other words, neither Yosef and Shimon in town can be collected from because of this. The Gemara now draws an inference. Taimo de Nimsa. Why is it that the shtoros of Yosef and Shimon, that both Yosef and Shimon's with respect to this particular lender, will not have to pay money? That is because Nimsa, there has been found a document that says that shtoros Yosef and Shimon porua. Holo Nimsa. Had this document not been found in the possession of the lender, motzi mapik, it would stand to reason from the inference that the malva would be able to collect from Yosef and Shimon. In other words, the malva would knock on his door, on Yosef and Shimon's door, and say, "You owe me money, and here's a shtar that says it." And Yosef and Shimon would not be able to say, "Oh, I'm not the one that owes you, it's the other one." Ah, but this is a problem. V'ho anan, we have the following v'anan. We're going to read a source, and afterwards, after the source, you see tanan. It's like saying v'anan tanan. But we have learned, we have been taught in our Mishnah. V'ho anan v'loy echod yocho lehotzi aleim shtar choiv tanan. Our Mishnah taught, though, that a malve, a lender, cannot use a document to collect from them, from a Yosef and Shimon, when someone else in the town has the same name. So, to make the matters very simple, can a malva, can a lender collect from Yosef and Shimon when there's another one in town with the same name? Omar Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya, we've circled his name as we mentioned before and indicated number one. He says the source that says that a malva could collect, namely the inference that we drew from the Seifa of our Mishnah, that he, if there was no shovar, if there was no receipt, then the malva would be able to collect. B'mishuloshim. We're talking about a case where the name Yosef ben Shimon appears with the name of his grandfather as well. And as a result of that, supplying an additional generation by way of names in the shtar shows us specifically which Yosef ben Shimon really owes the money. Namely, these two Yosef and Shimon's don't have similar names with three generations as well. Hence, by having the grandfather's name in it, or a third generation name in it, it's clear which Yosef and Shimon is the one that owes the money. The Gemara asks, if that be the case, as far as the bill of collection is concerned, why did the Mishnah teach that if there is a receipt, then neither one will owe the money? V'nefsi tavra b'shma deman d'chsiv. Let us just look at the receipt and see in whose name it is written, and then we'll know which Yosef ben Shimon paid up his debt, and namely the other one will still owe the money. Why does it say, therefore, in the Mishnah that if it's found in the possession of the lender such a document, that both Yosef ben Shimon's will no longer owe the money? Once again, if you're telling me, like Rav Yirmiyah says, b'mishuloshin, so then the same thing we would assume appears in the receipt, and then it'll be clear to us which Yosef ben Shimon's debt has been paid up, and hence the lender that has a shtar indicating that he has money owed him, things will be very clear. We'll know whose debt has been paid up and whose debt remains to be collected. Omar Rav Hoshaya, b'mishuloshim b'shtar v'ein mishuloshim b'shovar. the case that is featured in the Seifa of the Mishnah is a case where it's true in the bill of collection there are three generations. Hence, we know who owed the money. However, in the receipt, we don't have the three generations appearing. Hence, the Mishnah teaches that in such a case, since there is a receipt that's of an open nature, meaning without this specificity, so then neither Yosef ben Shimon can be held responsible to pay up the debt. As the Shovar says, Yosef ben Shimon's debt has been paid. With that having been said, the Reisha of the Mishnah, which said that a Malve cannot collect, that's true when you don't have Mishuloshin. The inference we drew from the Sefer that says a Malve can collect, that is true. A Malve would be able to collect if it's Mishuloshin. However, if you have a situation where there is also a Shover, a receipt, that is not Mishuloshin, that doesn't have the three generations mentioned in it, now, under such circumstances, in fact, the Malve will not be able to collect. Abaye, Omar, we have circled Abaye and indicated number two. This is a second approach to the entire dilemma. What was the dilemma that we saw? We drew an inference from the Seifa that indicated, had there been no Shofar, then the lender could collect from a Yosef and Shimon. But it was taught earlier in the Mishnah that a lender cannot collect from Yosef and Shimon. So Abaye says, Abaye Omar, Hochi Ko'omar. Hein alachiri mutzien. However, nimsa leloive bein shtarosef. If a borrower found amongst his documents a shovar, a receipt, that said, Shtoro shel Yosef ben Shimon olai porua, that the lender named Yosef ben Shimon, who has a bill of collection against me, and it has been paid up, Shtoros shneim pruin. We will say that both lenders, both potential lenders, both people with the same name, Yosef ben Shimon, will not be able to collect from me. According to Abaye's approach, therefore, there is no inference. There is no inference that teaches the following, that had there been no shovar, then the malve would have been able to collect. And how is it that there's no inference like that? Very simply, because originally, the inference was based on the assumption that when it said nimtzo le'echod, that echod, which was featured in the previous volcano marking, was a malve, and that the malve's hands were tied only because of the shover. Had there been no shover, the malve would have been able to collect, creating our problem. In this case, we don't have a jump-off point even for that inference, because the le'echod that the Mishnah mentioned, according to Abaye's approach, is the borrower that found a receipt amongst his documents. Ketzad yasu yishaleshu. The Mishnah said that if you have two people in the same town with the same name and they want to have documents that will be effective, so they should add another generation. Tana im hoyu shneim kohanim. If after we found these two fellows in town have the same name, not only as far as fathers are concerned, but as far as third generation as well, as far as grandfathers, they have the same name. The suggestion had been that if one happens to be a Kohen, it would be helpful if they add that point of information, once again showing us who the real owner of the shtar is. This Brisa adds that if they were both Kohanim, and hence adding a third generation, plus indicating Kohen versus non-Kohen, if both are Kohanim, that would not have been an effective means of distinction either. Yichtevu Doros, add a fourth generation. As we come upon our new Mishnah, we have a topic heading at the outside, in the outside margin. The Nosei, Malve ha'omer b'sh'as misaso, a lender that declares at the point of his death, as he's about to die, shekvar nifro chayvois shehayu chayovim lo, that debts that were owed to him have already been paid up, velo piret eza, and he doesn't specify which debt has been paid up. The Mishnah ha'omer livnoi, he's mentioning on his deathbed, shtar bein shtaroisai porua v'eini yodea e zehu, one of the documents in my possession, one of my bills of collection, has been paid up, and I don't know which one. The Mishnah says, shtaros kulan pruin, they are all paid up. Now, the Rashbam adds a very, very interesting and important point of information for general hashkofa purposes. This man on his deathbed is saying one of the shtaros has been paid up, and I don't know which one. The Rashbam says, V'eini yodea ezehu, v'haloive he'eminani, the love paid up, trusting me. Namely, paid up, not insisting on getting his shtar back, trusting me to keep holding on to his shtar and not to come back to him for a second collection. And as a result of his willingness to pay me up without insisting on his shtar back, he paid me and I didn't give back his shtar. However, I know that he paid me up, and I don't want to be punished. I don't want him to be collected from again, and then in Olam Haba, they'll hold me responsible for collecting twice from the same guy. So the Mishnah says if such an event takes place, all of his bills of collection are considered paid up. Nimsa le'echad shom shnayim. Let's take the same case where someone says that one of the shtaros in my possession has been paid up, and we find in his possession two documents. Hagodol porua v'akotan eino porua. If this fellow owed two loans, you have someone that borrowed twice from this fellow on his deathbed, and he said, the lender said that this guy borrowed from me, he essentially borrowed from him twice, and he declares that one of the loans has been paid up. So the Mishnah says that one has been paid up and not two, and we will say that the larger amount has been paid up and not the smaller amount. The Gemara continues. Omar Rava. Shtar lecha biyodi porua. A lender says to a borrower, your shtar that's in my possession is paid up. Hagodol porua v'hakotan eino porua. So we say that the larger of the two debts has been paid up and the lesser has not. If, however, he uses a different expression, Choiv lecha biyodi porua, the Rashbam explains that the term chov means, translated, it means debt, but it's mashma many shtaros. So he says, Choiv lecha, your debt to me has been paid up, shtaros kulon pruin, then all of the debts have been paid up. More now, Ravina presents a question. Omar le Ravina, le Rava, elo me'ata. Using your distinction, what about the following? Sodi mechuroloch. If someone says that my field has been sold to you, Sode gedoyla mechura lo, are we going to conclude that that means his larger field has been sold? Sode shiesh li mechura loch. The term sode, as the Rashbam explains, has a connotation of multiple fields. And he says, sode shiesh li mechura loch. Are we going to conclude kol sodoisov mechurin lo? Just like we saw above, the conclusion shtoros kulon pruin, because he used a general term, so too are you going to say that since he uses a general term in terms of the sale, that all his fields are sold? So the Gemara answers, we can't compare one case to the other. Hosom yad bal hashtar ala tachtono. In the case of the sales, if someone is holding on to a shtar, indicating he's the owner of something, we say he has his hand is al hatachtona, is under, meaning he's the underdog, if you will. The Rashbam explained to Mishani Hosom Yad Bal Ashtar al hatachtona Dehamotzi Mechavero Olav Araya Dehainu Lokeach. There's a famous rule that one who is trying to take out of the possession of someone else, in this case the purchaser, he's the new fellow on the scene who's trying to claim ownership of something that we knew was in the possession of someone else, he has to bring proof. And as a result of his need to be proof, we will not make any assumptions that will be to the detriment of the previous original owner until such evidence is brought forth. Umilsei de Rava de Liel Nami Mishum Hai Taimo. And Rava's ruling above is based on the same reasoning. The Yad Bal Hashtar Al Tachtona, the one in possession of the document is in the weaker position. Who was that case? Dahinu Malve. That was the case of the lender. Hilkoch Choiv Licho Biodi Parua, where you have that general expression, and the one who was in possession of that information, who was holding onto that document, Kol hashtoros sheish lo alav pruim. All of the documents that he has against the other are said to be paid up. The Mishnah. The case, or the topic that we've assigned to this, is found in the outside margin. Piraoin min ha'orev, money to be collected by a guarantor of a loan, Mosai. When does that take place? Hamalva es chavero al yedei orev. Lo yifra min ha'orev. This phrase of the Mishnah is going to be explained at great length by the Gemara. But literally it means that one who extends a loan to a borrower with the intervention or the presence of a guarantor to the loan, so the collection for the loan is not made from, it's not collected from the guarantor. V'im omar loy almanas she'efra mimi she'erze, if it's stated that I will collect from whomever I want, yifra min ha'orev, then you can collect from the guarantor. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, im yesh nechosim la loyve, if the borrower has property, bein kachu bein kach lo yifra min ha'orev, under neither circumstance can collection be made from the guarantor. V'chein hoy Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer ha'orev le'isha b'ksubasa, someone who served as a guarantor to a woman as far as her ksuba payment is concerned, vahoya bailo magarsha, and the husband was divorcing this woman. In the case of a divorce, so the woman has a right to collect her ksuba payment, and if you have a guarantor on the scene, so the question arises, can the woman turn to the guarantor to collect her money? The Mishnah says, Yedireno Hano, the Baal, when he divorces her, shall forswear receiving any further benefit from this woman. Shemo Yasu Knunyo Al Nechosim, there's a fear that otherwise a husband and wife might scheme together Al Nechosim Shel Zeh regarding the property of the guarantor, Viachsiris Ishto. In other words, that the Baal will turn to the guarantor claiming, hey, you guaranteed my wife's ksuba and she's not paying me, I want you to pay me. He'll then collect from the guarantor, and after he collects the value of her ksuba from that man, from the from the Orev, the husband will then remarry his wife, laughing all the way to the bank. So as to prevent such a thing from happening, we say that if you want to collect from the guarantor, you had better forswear any further benefit from that woman that you are divorcing now. The Gemara asks, "My taima." Their Gemara's question is based on an assumption that when the Mishnah said "Lo yifra mina orev," that means you can never collect from the orev unless the borrower actually dies. The Rashbam explains, "My taima, lo yifra mina orev." Why is it that you cannot collect from a guarantor? The assumption right now is "Lo yifra klal." Ko'omar masnisin, that the Mishnah said you cannot collect at all. The lo mahani arvus, that guaranteeing loans doesn't have any benefit, elo lahochi, with the one exception, she imes loive, o borach, if the borrower died or ran away, as Yifram in orev, achim ha loive befonenu, bishal shetovea malves chavo, however, if the borrower is present at the time that the lender is trying to collect his loan, kevon shehemido orev lalova bifanenu, once the orev presents the borrower to us, potter, the orev, the guarantor, is thereby exempt. So our question is, why is this the case? Or are we understanding the Mishnah correctly? So what we have to do before we go on in the Gemara, in noticing a new geometric form, a diamond, we will look to the outside margin where we have a nosei and mivneh, a topic heading with a structural note. These diamonds are here to represent shlovim v'hasbir. These are stages in trying to explain hoda katari b'mishnah lo yifram in orev, to explain what did the Mishnah mean when it said a lender cannot collect from the guarantor. So we turn now back to the Gemara. Rabo v'Rav Yossi Dami Travayu, they explain as follows. The guarantor can say the following: Gavro ashlimas li, gavro ashlimi loch. To translate this, we will turn to the Rashbam. Gavro ashlimas li, hifkadetani haloive. The lova, the borrower, appointed me, so to speak, almenas sheim yomus o yivrach, that in the event that he, the borrower, dies or runs away, like we saw above in the Rashbam, she'efra mamoni, and then and only then will I pay my money to cover his loan. Vare ani machzirolach, and he hasn't neither died nor run away. I am now returning him, the borrower, to you. V'titpe'enu bedin, and you collect from him in the court. Vani potur, I, the guarantor, the orev, I am now exempt. In other words, I was in the picture only in the event that he died or ran away. That not being the case, I am now out of the picture. Collect from him. The Gemara continues, Maskif lo Rav Nachman. Hai, Dina de Parsoi. We've used a double underline with dots in it to indicate, as we have shown on the side of our Gemara, Shlovim behavonas kushis Rav Nachman al Rabba Rav Yosef. We are going to go through two stages in trying to understand Rav Nachman's question that he's asking on Rabba Rav Yosef. Rav Nachman says, this din is the way of the Persians, namely, this din that you do not collect from a guarantor at all unless the borrower dies, that's characteristic of Persian society. That's not our way. The Gemara asks back on Rav Nachman, how can you say that? Adarabo. The opposite is the case. Bosa Arvo Asli. Persian courts actually pursue the guarantor and not the borrower, even in the case that the borrower has properties. So how can you say regarding this issue of the guarantor not being in the picture that that's characteristic of Persian society? If anything, by Persians it's the opposite. They go dafka after the guarantor. Ella. So what's Rav Nachman's question? Ella. Be dino de parsoi de lo yavi taimo le milsayu. Rather, what you're saying is that is like the Persian courts that say things without giving reasons. Let us glance at the Rashbam. Deloyabi Taimla Messiah Shigamze Dovor Sheino Hogun Hu Lomar Shalo Yifra Mina Orev Klal. What you are saying also is not proper, namely that you're explaining the Mishnah as that no collection is made from the Orev at all, except for these very extenuating circumstances that the borrower dies or runs away. Otherwise, no collection is made from the Orev. Im kein maya hani arvus, of what benefit is arvus, is guaranteeing? Ela vadai lahochi nichnas ba'arvus. Rather, it must be that he entered the guarantee role, the guarantor role, shim ein nechosim loive, shiyashalim lo Orev tachtov es hamomon. Namely, not only in the case that the borrower dies or runs away is he going to serve as a guarantor, but he will guarantee the loan even if the borrower is present but simply doesn't have the means to pay up the loan. Let's continue in the Gemara. Ela Omar Rav Nachman, notice the diamond around Rav Nachman. This will be a second approach to explain what did the Mishnah mean when it said lo yifra min ha'orev. My lo yifra min ha'orev, lo yitba orev tchila. It simply means that he is not sought out initially. Let us glance at the Rashbam. Lo yitba orev tchila, de lo nase orev elo. Amanas im yomus halove, o yomoyin lovo ledin, o shiachaybu bezin v'liyalo ma lifroa. Oz yifra min orev. That the, once again, the orev is not pursued as a first address for payment of a loan, but rather the Orev comes into the picture if the borrower died, or the borrower refuses to come to din, or the Bezdin requires the borrower to pay up, but he doesn't have the means. Then the Orev is sought for collection. Tanya Nami Ochi, with a Tanaic source supporting this. Hamavis Chavero Al Yidei Orev. Lo Yitba Orev Tchila. A person who extended a loan to his friend, he is instructed not to pursue the Orev initially. The im Omar almanas she'efra mimi she'erze, if however the lender says, I am loaning this money on condition that I can collect from whomever I want, yitba Orev chila. To understand these points, let us glance at the Rashbam. The im Omar lo almanas yitba min ha'orev tchila. If the lender said that on condition that I can collect from whomever I want, then we say he can collect from the orev, namely, even without all of the conditions mentioned just before. However, this is a very important point that Rashbam adds, kegoin she'ein nechosim lalove, provided that the love does not have any property. So, if the love does not have any property, then the borrower can turn immediately to the Orev, and not necessarily have to wait for any of the circumstances mentioned in the previous Rashbam. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form. You notice the house form. This is explained in the outside margin, Nosei Mivneh. Tshuvot, these are answers, La-She'ela, to the question, Minayin La-Orev De-Mishtabe. From where do we know, what's the source or basis for saying that a guarantor is duty-bound, is Mishubad? Be-Amira, Be-Alma, Be-Lo-Kinyan, that he can become bound with a mere statement that he will pay up the debt for this borrower without any additional Kinyan, without any additional gesture that binds him. Omar Ravuna. We continue in the Gemara with a house form, number one. We'll see another approach, Rav Yitzchok, a few lines later. So Ravuna says, Minayin l'orev the mishtabe, from where do we know that an orev becomes duty bound with mere speech? Dechtiv. The pasuk that's featured here involves the story of Yosef requesting Binyamin in Sefer Bereishis, after the brothers sold Yosef and Yosef became the leader of Mitzrayim. Yosef insisted on seeing Binyamin. and Yaakov Avinu hesitated in sending his son. So the following pasuk appears: Anochi Arvenu Miyodi Tevakshenu. In this case, happened to be Reuven, but we're going to assume in the course of the Gemara that not only Reuven but Yehuda as well said as follows: that I take upon myself responsibility, and Miyodi, from my hands, you can request him. In other words, I am guaranteeing Binyamin's welfare. Maskiflo Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda opposes to this pasuk being the source of Arvus, because this pasuk is characteristic of a higher degree of responsibility known as kablonus. Rav Chisda says, "Ha kablonus he." This is kablonus, which will be featured much later on the Omid. This issue of kablonus will be discussed at greater length, which is a higher form of obligation than standard arvus. And since our discussion concerns standard arvus, standard guaranteeship, this pasuk will not serve as sufficient proof. This is kablonus, dechtiv, tino oisoi al yodi vani ashivenu. The issue of kablonus involves where a fellow enters a picture and he says to a lender, he says, "Listen, you give me the money and I will give the money to the borrower." Within kablonus, there are also a couple of levels of distinction, but for our purposes, one should realize that the issue of the binyamin guardianship is not characteristic of standard arvus, hence our search for a source continues. Elo Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mehocha, from the following. So we quote a posuk from Mishlei. The posuk is addressing a lender and says, Lekach bigdo ki orav zor uvaad nochriyo chavlehu. The gist of the posuk is that the lender is being instructed, take the clothing from the borrower, take the clothing from the guarantor who guaranteed a borrower's loan. You can take the clothing from the guarantor because he offered through speech. He offered by agreeing to be a guarantor, thereby binding himself. V'omer bini, im oravto l're'echo, tokata lazor kapecho, nokashto v'imrei picho, nilkadeto v'imrei picho. Ase zos efo bini v'hinotseo, ki bosa bekaf re'echo, lech hisrapes urahav re'echo. This pasuk, true, four lines. There's a lot of translation work that would need to be taken place, and we suggest opening up a Tanakh with translation in it. For our purposes, though, we want to emphasize key points. We've done so with the dot underline. Notice the expression orafto. That's our topic, in becoming an orev. If you became an orev, so then this pasuk indicates you have to pay up. And that's indicated by the end of the pasuk, which says, Lech hisrapes. The Gemara will now explain some of the elements of this pasuk in greater detail. Aleph, im mamon yesh lo biyadcha, if he, a lender, has a claim of money from you, hater lo pisas yad. The word hisrapes that appeared just above is really an abbreviated expression referring to these words, hater lo, open up, pisas yad, your hand. In other words, open up your hand with money in it and pay him. In other words, as we said, if you've become a guarantor of a loan, you will be obligated to pay it up. The imlav, if the issue between you and the other guy is not one of financial concern, but rather of some kind of dispute that arose in issues of personality and conduct, then hirbo olov re'im. That's urahav re'echo. Try to encourage friends to resolve any differences between you and the other fellow. Once again, for our purposes, the role of Reb Yitzchok was to show that arvus, that guarantor, guaranteeship, so to speak, becomes a reality through mere speech and no need for an additional kinyan. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form as far as this omid is concerned. We see the volcano form. In the outside margin, let us glance at the Nosei Mivneh, we notice a machlokes amoroyim ha de orev mishtabed, that which we say that an orev becomes bound, imhu tolui b'machlokes tanoim ohu lekulei ama. Is this the subject of a machlokes tanoim, or is it something that everyone would agree with? Omar ameimar, orev de mishtabed, that which a guarantor becomes duty bound, machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi. This is a controversy between these two tanoim. How is that? The Rabbi Yossi de Omar asmachto kanya, according to Rabbi Yossi, that says that claims made that are done without the full acceptance of the circumstances ever really arising, and nevertheless one makes claims that he will do such and such, orev mishtabe. So an orev will become duty bound. Let's try to translate this into our terms. The orev serves to guarantee a loan. Does this orev really think that the borrower is not going to pay up? He doesn't think that. He thinks that the borrower is going to pay up. So he enters the picture saying, I'll pay up the loan if he doesn't come to pay up. This expression, if he doesn't come to pay up, he doesn't really think that's ever going to come to be. He, the guarantor, really thinks that the borrower will pay up. And nevertheless, he says what he says. So according to Rabbi Yossi, statements made under such circumstances, whereby the speaker doesn't really think the circumstances are going to rise, but nevertheless says what he does, he becomes duty-bound, simply because he offered his guarantee, so too the orev will become duty-bound. The Rabbi Yehuda d'amar asmachta lo kanya, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that such statements that are made without true seriousness behind them, namely statements that are made because the speaker doesn't think those circumstances will really come to be, orev lo mishtabed. So the guarantor similarly will not become duty bound because he doesn't really think it's ever going to come to be that the borrower will not pay up. Amarle Ravashi. Ravashi turns to Amebar. Amarle Ravashi la Amemar. Ha maisen b'chol yoim da asmachta lo kanya. It's common practice that we do not take asmachta statements that were said under the non-expected circumstances, as we said above, people who guarantee things not thinking it's really going to come to be, and we view them as being non-serious, namely lo kanya, they do not bind the speaker, and yet the orev mishtabed, and yet guarantors are bound to pay up the loans. So how do you explain that? Elomar Ravashi, the explanation behind orev is not a function of the machlokes tanoim, whether asmachta kanya or not, but rather the binding of a guarantor is bahu anoa dekama hemenle, through the pleasure that he, the guarantor, gets, and that people rely upon him. This creates a certain sense of dignity and honor, that people turn to him and rely upon him. Gomer umishtabed nafshe, he binds himself belave shalem, with a full heart and full commitment, and that's the reason for his becoming bound. If the lender says that I am loaning this money on condition that I will collect from whomever I want, the Mishnah says yifra min ha'orev. Before we go on, let's glance at our introduction in the outside margin. No say dino shel Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's halacha ha dekatani im omar al menashe efra mimisha yirtzeh. When a lender says, I am loaning this money on condition that I will get paid from whomever I want, yifra min ha'orev, haynu im ein nechosim lalova. This is true, that he can turn to the orev only if the lova, the borrower, does not have any property. The Gemara says inside, Omar rabo bar barchana om Rav Yochanan. Loi shanu, the teaching of the Mishnah, that if the lender says, I'm lending this on condition that I will collect from whomever I want, that he can collect from the orev, this is taught elo she'ein nechosim laloive. The borrower has no property. Avol yesh nechosim laloive. If the borrower has property, even though he made this, the lender made this condition at the outset, lo yifram in orev, he is not allowed to collect from the guarantor. The Gemara asks, the ha midikotani seifa, from the fact that the seifa says the following, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, im yesh nechosim lalove, Rav Shimon Gamliel is the one that says if the borrower has property, bein kachu bein kach lo yifram in arev, then under no circumstances can the lender collect from the guarantor. That's his opinion. Mechal de Tanakama Savar, lo shna hachi velo shna hachi. It must be that the Tanakama disagrees with Rav Shimon Gamliel and says that it doesn't matter, and rather that there is an option on the part of the lender to collect from the arev even if the Lova has property. And if that be the case, we have a question on Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara answers, Chisure Mechasira V'Hachi Katani. The Mishnah is of a deliberate terse nature, but understand it as follows. In our marking system, we view re-readings and re-understandings of Mishnayas as if they're Mishnayas by framing them as we would any Tanaic source. Hence, let us reread the Mishnah, so to speak. Hamavas Chavero Al Yedei Orev. Lo yifram in a orev. If one loans money with the presence of a guarantor, you do not collect from the guarantor. The im omar almanas she'efram imi she'erze. If the lender says, I am extending the loan with the condition that I will collect from whomever I want, yifra min ha'orev, then he has the option of turning to the guarantor. Bamed v'mamurim v'she'en nechosim la'lova. This is true if the borrower has no property. Aval yesh nechosim la'lova. If, however, the borrower has property, lo yifra min ha'orev, then you cannot collect from the guarantor. And this is, of course, even if this statement was made by the lender. The kablon, if you're dealing with a different type of guarantor, the kablon, higher level of obligation, afal pi shiyesh nechosim la'lova, even if the love, the borrower, has property, yifra min ha'kablon. If the malva should so desire, he can turn to the kablon, this type of guarantor that we said is of a higher nature. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, im yesh nechosim la'lova, if the borrower has property, the Gemara at the top of Kuf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph says, Echod Zeh, V'Echod Zeh Lo Yifra. Whether it be an Orev or even a Kablon, the lender cannot collect from him. That's Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion. Hence, we see that Rav Shimon Gamliel does disagree with the Tanakama, but his disagreement concerns the issue of the Kablon, namely, a borrower has property. Can the lender turn to the Kablon? According to the Tanakama, yes. According to Shimon Gamliel, no. Omar Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Mokom Shishonah Rav Shimon Gamliel B'Mishnasenu, wherever Rav Shimon Gamliel appears in Mishnayos, and he does so in our Mishnah as well, Halacha Kamoisa, we will follow Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion, Chutz, with the exception of three cases, Me'orev, V'tzidon, V'raya Achrona. These are three titles to three different cases. The first one is relevant to us, the Orev case. Sidon and Raya Achrona are references to Gemaras in other places. However, for our purposes, we're saying that even though we, generally speaking, follow Rav Shimon Gamliel's psak, in this case, the case regarding the Orev, where he said that if the Lova has properties, you cannot collect from the Kablon, that's not the case. But rather, the lender is able to turn to the Kablon, even though the borrower has property like the Rabbanan. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.